Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Really, on my last day in the entire year,
hey,
it's got to be that.
To be fair, you opened it up to requests, and that was a request from Dalen, who listens all the time and beat me and beat the geek, so
all
I couldn't not play it.
That's fine.
The best.
I was going to say, save that for Monday when Courtney is driving the show. How many?
Room.
Is that the way? Are you excited? Oh, you can't.
I am very excited. Yeah, I can't wait.
Who is it Monday? You and
me, Wiggs, Curtis, I think.
Okay.
Ann Scheim, producing.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
And Mike Vrabel, of course.
With Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
So, Curtis, you got a question with regard to the New England Patriots on Sunday night.
And by the way, you're looking very nice with the haircut.
Oh, thank you. Just got just was over and saw my guy Nate over at Sims. I pay full price.
Yep.
Over there.
Thank you, Nate. You look doing a great job. Bang up. The conversation this week is circled around the offense and the inept performance in the second half. But if you're Mike Vrabel, I mean, if you're Josh McDaniels and you're sitting there and you're hearing how it was a cute double pass, aren't you looking at your defensive-minded head coach and saying, they scored 35 there, bub. You allowed 5 consecutive touchdown drives. Why are we talking about Drake May and the coordinator, and why aren't we talking about that defense that's figured it out in the first half? Just like the offense did, but couldn't stop a nosebleed in the second half.
Welcome to my side of the street, Curtis. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well done.
Well, I think we did talk about the defense basically giving up 5 drives, touchdown scoring drives in the second half or something along those lines. I think we did talk about that, but I don't get the offense and Josh McDaniels, them talking about firing him. And when you look at the Patriots offense, like, they're top 10 in almost every major category, right? Yeah. Top 10 when it comes to points per game, the top 10 when it comes to total offense per game, the top 10 when it comes to passing yards per game.
It just seems wild to me that that's the speculation. Like, would Drake May be anywhere near what he is without Josh McDaniels?
No. No, I don't think so.
We could debate that, but I won't get into it.
You would debate it?
Yeah, I think
during that debate, How do you allow for last season?
Right.
I mean, the transformation is extraordinary.
Because everything else outside of the offensive coordinator was an utter disaster. That's why. I think the stability that Mike Vrabel has brought, the culture that he has built, is a large portion of what has led to Drake May being comfortable and being able to have success. That's why.
So you would give all the credit to Vrabel then?
I would give the majority of the credit to May and Vrabel, yeah. May for being this good in the games, because he's the one, at the end of the day, he's the one that has to make the throws, so he deserves the lion's share of the credit. But then, like, I think next on the list would be Vrabel. Yeah,
yeah, but we go down this road all the time, right? When you think of Tom Brady, the success, large part of his success.
Give it all to Belichick.
No, but you got to give a lot of it to Charlie Weiss, right, for teaching him how to become a great quarterback, teaching him all the ins and outs, all these little things, right? When I told you, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but when you're a defensive-minded coach and your offense and your quarterback is very good, yes, I'll give you credit for the culture and the way that you coach him as far as, you know, the things that he should be thinking about and how you change that. But the actual day-to-day work is with Josh McDaniels and the quarterback coach. That's where Drake May learning how to become a great quarterback.
When it comes to, like, Curtis, you're suggesting Mike Vrabel should be criticized because of the defense. Any allowance given to the fact that he lost his coordinator middle of the season?
Well, they had no coordinator in the first half.
What do you mean?
In the first half of the game against the Bills, they didn't have a defensive coordinator.
What I'm saying is that Mike Vrabel, head coach, who has to run every element of the operation, lost his defensive coordinator halfway through the season.
Well, the beginning of the season.
Before the season.
Yeah. Before the season.
Right. I'm saying that somehow whatever system they had in place shut out the Bills up until the final minutes of the first half. It's not like they lost their coordinator in the first quarter and then all of a sudden had to regroup.
Yeah.
They had a pretty good plan. And then just like Josh McDaniels, they each had a great plan in the first half. And it went away in the second. And I feel like the one thing, too, if they do lose McDaniels, then Drake May has three coordinators in three years.
I don't believe that Mike Vrabel is even thinking of not having Josh McDaniels around
here
next
year.
There's
no chance. Why
is that anybody's thought based on a comment that he made on the show, which I don't think was even directed at Josh McDaniels?
Because they took that comment and they wanted to put a negative spin on it.
Yeah, I don't understand why you're trying to put a negative spin on it. We've lost one game in the last how many months, and now all of a sudden you want to jump and try to make drama out of nothing?
Do you think Tom Curran just creates drama?
Curran walked it back after Curtis.
Yeah.
He heard the exact thing that we heard.
And then he went and actually talked to Mike Vrabel
and
walked it back.
But that's where this originated.
But I'm telling you that he's corrected himself. So why are we beating a dead horse?
But you said after he talked to Vrabel, which means Vrabel said, hey, don't say that.
No, right. If you go and actually listen to what Tommy Curran said, his article that's out there for anybody else to Google, he said he went to Mike Vrabel because he wanted to understand more. So he went and asked the questions instead of just going on with this narrative over and over again.
But in the middle of a season where the team is winning, Vrabel's not going to be like, yeah, I don't want Josh here.
Okay, so then why did he say it on our show on Monday? Why, if you're in the middle of a season where you're winning so much, why would he try to cause any type of drama with his offensive coordinator?
Well, it's because the questioner does a great job of getting under his skin, and he brings up things like being cute, and then the whole city talks about it for three days.
That was a made-up story. There were five people in the room when he made that comment. Out of the five people that were listening in that room, did anybody think this was a dig at Josh McDaniels?
I did not.
I
nope.
did.
No.
Chime?
I didn't take it that way at that moment. No.
No, right? So
Ken and I were texting about it in real time.
So what happened? So four of the five people didn't take it that way. So then what happens is one person.
Did you ask Amen Corner? Because that's the fifth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen Corner. I didn't get a chance to ask him. But then what happens is one person, Tommy Curran, then says, ooh. Here's what I heard.
Right.
Clickbait.
Drama.
Rather than just being like what we all, like the majority of people I think heard was, oh, you can't win on trick plays. What are we going to just win on a bunch of 13-yard trick plays?
Yeah.
And that's what the majority of people, until Tommy Curran then says, oh, I'm going to put this negative spin on it. He's taking a shot at Josh McDaniels. When nobody heard that, but he knows, ooh, that's going to get people's clicking and eyes open and that kind of, that's all that is.
This is Keith in the truck. Hey, Keith.
I look at this at the professional level. When you get to that high of a level, any sport, doesn't matter what it is, the egos on these guys are massive, from the coaches to the players, and you have to, and I think you have to be like that. I think for the most part, as a head coach, you get the positives and the negatives. When you're doing well, you're going to get praised. And when you're struggling, you're going to obviously deal with that as well. I think there's been an awful lot of compliments to McDaniels, and I'm sure it bothers Vrabel a little bit deep down inside. That's why every time they bring that up to him, what does he say? Oh, no, it's the team. Oh, it's the QB coach.
It's Genty,
right. It's this guy. It's that guy. He never gives the compliments to McDaniels, and I just think it's an ego thing. And that's,
it could be,
at that level, Wiggy, Wiggy.
It could be that. It also is a leadership philosophy, which is never let people get too high. Like, when somebody is,
look at the first month. Look at the first month. May was just starting to fly.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give the kid a game ball for the first 2 months. He didn't give him much compliment. So that's probably his philosophy. But I think a lot of it's ego, which is, it's every level. Once you get to the pro level, it's just, I think it's across the board.
Yeah.
Coaches, players, everybody, they have ego. So
Keith, great.
But we heard Vrabel give Josh McDaniels credit in the past. We've heard him say Josh has done a tremendous job. Josh is doing a great job with this offense.
Can I ask you an honest question, Wiggs?
Mm-hmm.
Has he ever been directly asked about McDaniels and replied only about McDaniels?
I asked him about Josh McDaniels on Monday and said, hey, Josh said he hopes he's here for a long, paraphrasing, long time building this with you. And he said all the coaches.
Right. Always answers about a collective.
Right, but that's what he does. He does it with the team.
Not with the quarterback.
He does it with the quarterback. He says, hey, listen, the quarterback's doing a great job, but also you got to give a lot of credit to the wide receivers.
He told the Amazon crew that Drake May is a big reason he's here.
We know that. But he also says Drake May is a big reason why I'm here. Drake May is having success, but he's also having success because of the quarterback's coach. He's also having success because of Josh McDaniels. I asked him a question about the wide receiver room, and he brought up the fact that, you know what, they're doing a lot of great things, all of them, whether it's Matt Collins. The offense did what they were supposed to do. If you look at what the offense averages this season per game, 27 points. Defensively, they generally hold teams to 19 points. So I know it's kind of a little bit of, I'm being a little bit facetious here when I say this. You scored 27 points. Granted, it was in the first half, but you weren't able to do what you normally do, which is hold a team to under 20 points. So the offense did their job. Granted, they didn't do what they should have done a little bit more in the second part. And the defense didn't do what they were supposed to do. But the fact that we're sitting here talking about Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel beef, come on. This is made up for people who have, you know what I call it? My mother used to say this all the time.
I can't wait to hear this.
Those are people with negative ears.
Negative ears.
Negative ears.
Cause I don't like negative ears.
Everything they hear is negative.
It's negative.
Yep.
Why
could
is
be
that?
Like, oh, it's a beautiful day outside.
Right.
You and I heard that.
Uh-huh.
But they heard something
it's
else.
It's like, was it Linus who always had the black cloud hanging over him in the Charlie Brown cartoons?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was because he didn't shower.
Did he get pig pen?
No, that was Courtney's Super Bowl trip.
No, he's talking. Awful.
No. Yeah. But it might have been me because of my socks.
Yeah.
I got new socks, by the way.
Good job.
After that discussion on the radio.
Thank goodness.
Went right on the Amazon, ordered. No, actually, I didn't. I went to a Target.
Oh.
I was over at Target. I bought myself some socks. I got 30 pairs.
There's better than a new pair of socks.
My highlight of 2025 is when Greg goes, where is there a Staples near here?
Literally in our backyard.
This is Tim from Hanover. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, guys, and Merry Christmas on the way.
Merry Christmas, best wishes to you and yours at this most joyous time
of year.
You got it,
bud.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to say, Vrabel, in his right mind, would never, ever even think of getting rid of Josh.
Right.
Josh is doing a great job, and he's done an unbelievable job with May. And let me tell you, And the reason why they're using trick plays at times, they don't have the proper guys to play. They got to do something to make up. They don't have the big-time elite players, and that's why they do that. Otherwise, they'd attack, attack, attack. That's the reason why they use those trick plays.
What about those two big Trevion Henderson touchdowns? What about, I don't know, what about all the deep passes Drake May's thrown this year? I don't know. I don't think they need the trick plays. They just, Josh loves to run
it's part of it. I mean, that's what every coach has. They have
Ben Johnson has run a million trick plays.
Yeah. That's part of his MO.
Yeah, they don't need it, but yeah, I get it.
Our trick play is you in a Santa costume.
Yeah, exactly. I would prefer less double passes, though, because the last two times you've run it, Drake May's almost gotten killed on the play. But, you know, like, I'm fine with the trick plays.
Right, but
I mean, you loved it when it was Edelman to Danny Amendola.
That's a great one.
And won your football game against the Ravens.
Great moment for it.
You loved it then, didn't
you? Right. Every offense has generally 2 to 3 trick plays a game, and they use
The Lions run one every game.
And they use it for, hey, maybe our offense is sputtering a little bit. We need a big play. Because the purpose of a trick play is to really hit a big play.
To trick them.
Right? And so if you don't...
Trick or treat.
That's what you have. And you tried it, and it worked out to the sense where it was like, okay, you didn't get the big chunk out of it, but you end up getting the 13-yard over route that I think my Mac Hollins caught. But if you look at your offense from a week-to-week basis, this offense is one of the best offenses in the league. You would be stupid as a head coach to get rid of an offensive coordinator that has your offense as one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I told you, it's the negative ears and the fact that you need clickbait. That's the only reason why Tommy Curran did it. Let's be honest. You know, maybe I don't, you know, I'm not saying that his subscribes or whatever the hell they call that.
Substack
or whatever.
I don't think he's a substacker.
No. But even the substacker went out of his way yesterday to say he spoke to people in the organization. And
they don't have a house in Connecticut.
Substacker said he asked about Rabel firing Josh McDaniels, and they laughed in his face.
Yeah. It's the clickbait.
Imagine having a season like they've been having, coming off of two seasons that they had, and people want to talk about the head coach having beef with the offensive coordinator and fighting and firing him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so absurd to me. It's so like New England, where you need to find something negative during a very positive time.
I mean, but look at the Lakers. Everybody talked about Kobe versus Shaq, the Patriots, Belichick versus Brady, the Yankees. You had all these A-Rod versus Jeter. Like, that's what people are interested in. Great teams have drama.
No, the drama's fine.
But the drama's fake.
But just don't make up the drama.
Well, everybody said the drama was fake between Brady and Bill.
Warning on that, please. It's Christmas time.
God, right. Curtis.
There are Dalen is listening, Curtis.
Well, you know, they got to know what Shaq said.
Give it the how does my A taste at least. All right.
Save that.
Good.
Anyway, we're way behind, but that's okay. It's a Friday.
Yeah.
Patriots Friday. And Patriots looking to erase what occurred last weekend and win this game on Sunday night. You could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We'll get to the rest of They Said It coming up next. And here is Courtney now with what is trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. A wild Thursday night football game. The Seahawks come back, tie, and win it against the Rams. 38-37 was the final. Despite the loss, Matthew Stafford had a hell of a game. He completed 29 of 49 passes for 457 yards and 3 touchdowns. It is a Patriots Friday. The Pats have the Ravens in Baltimore for Sunday night football. 8:20 kickoff there. This week's Cross Insurance Player Spotlight is going to go to Steph Diggs. Lots of talk about him this past week. Is he hurt? Was he running the wrong routes? Let's see how he responds to that this week. That's this week's Player Spotlight, brought to you by Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. The Bruins fell to the Oilers on home ice, 3-1 the final. Jeremy Swayman was in goal. He had 22 saves in the loss.
Ruling on the David Pastrnak man bun last night.
Hot.
I don't know. Really?
Yep.
Really?
Okay. All right. You're a big man bun guy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Noted.
All right. I mean, not a common do in the NHL, I would say, the man bun. But
no.
Very, very popular in Somerville.
Works. The Celtics are finally back in action tonight. Tip is set for 7 p.m. from the Garden. They have the Miami Heat in town. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded for festive feasts. Shaw's and Star Market now have sales on roasts. Beef, large end, rib roast, bone-in, or New York boneless roasts are just $6.97 a pound when you use a digital coupon. That's limited to one with additional $25 qualifying purchase included. Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. That's what's trending. More of They Said It up next.
Wow.
Well played.
I've never heard that. I overheard a conversation in the other room. Turb came running down. He's like, you got to play this Creed Rudolph mashup. And I heard Nick say, this is just an AI Creed mashup. Yeah. And I'm like, well, this is probably garbage.
Yeah.
I take it all back. Apologies to Turb.
It's honestly amazing.
Turb, I'm sorry. That might be the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
It's incredible, Jones.
I got to be Team AI now after that.
I kind of like it. Yeah. This is going to be my 41st Christmas brag.
Yep.
And every year there's like a song I've never heard.
Yeah.
There's like a new one that you're like, oh, you haven't heard this one?
Yeah.
That goes in the rotation. And I'll tell you, it was a little distracting because I was interested in what Bedard was saying.
He had
a lot of stuff to say, and I was ready to comment on that. And then all of a sudden, here comes Creed.
Now, how can we not comment on Creed Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
You're taking him higher. It is the perfect mashup. It was right there in front of everybody.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to be more Rudolph lyrics, but no, then you, of course, have to go, can you take me higher?
I mean, that's the right, higher, that's right, the right thing to do there. Score, especially through the stormy nights.
I did think he cursed there for a moment, but it was a foggy night.
Oh,
I
so
forgot,
close.
I forgot it was a
foggy night.
Yeah. I was like, dub it.
Pretty good.
But anyway, okay. That was Creed. But you're right. Bedard had a few...
Good lines
in there. He got laughed at for asking about Josh McDaniels' future.
He got laughed at, mm-hmm. Although he thought it was a question that needed to be asked, at the very least.
He felt a little sheepish and embarrassed
after the fact, he didn't realize he was going to get laughed at. But also, I don't know if it would be quite that severe. Like, he made it, he's like, is Josh McDaniels going to be fired? Like...
I talked to people in the building.
Sick brag, bro.
That's true.
Yeah.
Late nominee.
That's a strong late brag.
There's also a good American Pie homage in there, I thought.
Yeah, what was he talking about?
I don't know. But, when it comes to, at least he asked, I'll give him credit for asking the question, I guess. Curran circled back to Vrabel. I want to play that for you in a moment.
Well,
and
I don't
he
think...
He wants to get his fingers into every single pie.
Leave my ex-wife out of this. I think that he, I honestly... You and I don't think he's going anywhere, right? Like McDaniels. But it's just one of those things like, when the head coach didn't really hire the coordinator, there's always going to be something there.
No, this is where, and whatever. I mean, people run with clips, and they don't, well, it's fine. I do it all the time to other people, so I'm not going to complain about this. But just to be clear, neither of us ever said we thought Josh McDaniels was fired. We just thought it was interesting that Curran didn't rule it out.
Right.
We're both like, no, he'll be back. How could you fire him?
And the only reason we asked,
Vrabel has enough power to fire him, they've won the Super Bowl. He's not going to fire the OC who won the Super Bowl. McDaniels isn't going to get a job anywhere else, so he's not leaving. And Kraft isn't going to let Vrabel fire him. So I think that's where we stood on that. But our whole thing this week, which we got lumped in with Tom, which is fine. It's our show.
Yeah, whatever.
But Tom said, I don't know if he's back. We were just reacting to that.
No, and we even asked the question. We didn't start the interview on Tuesday being like, we should ask if like McDaniels is coming back.
We asked the same thing everybody else has asked all week. Do you blame the offense or the defense more? And he's like, I blame the defense, which is why I think it's weird what Vrabel had to say about McDaniels. And then we moved on, and he's like, yeah, but that McDaniels stuff. And then Keith asked about Sean McDermott, and he's like, yeah, but what about Josh McDaniels? And finally, Keith had to be like, so what's his future?
What are we saying here at the end of the year? And he's like, I don't know.
Also... Is Bedard's read on that right? If somebody laughs at you so hard that you're embarrassed, aren't you like,
yeah,
what are you?
You're doing too much.
Are you laying it on a little too thick?
Yeah.
And Bedard can't read that. You stupid idiot.
And you're like, oh, okay, something's wrong with this person.
Yeah, but maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
I got a little too close. I got a little too close to it.
Maybe he can't read into that.
Maybe not. Maybe he has a hard time picking up social cues.
He's a film guy. He's may not
he's
pick up
breaking down
social
the film.
Cues.
Yeah, like if it was popped up on the All-22, maybe he could help you out with that. But I think it's just something to monitor. Like these two guys, I don't think Vrabel picked McDaniels. Other people might feel otherwise, but it seems like that was an owner decision. And yeah, there has not been a lot of credit given to Josh McDaniels throughout the year by Vrabel, and we thought some of the comments were interesting. So take it from here. But yeah, our prediction is he's back.
Yeah. You want more from Curran?
Yeah.
Curran said this yesterday to WEEI Afternoons. It sounds like to me, he didn't say this, but it sounds like to me after the press conference, he was either able to, through Stacey James or whomever, finagle 30 seconds to a minute off to the side with Vrabel. Okay. And he had a quick conversation with him. Here's how that went. Again, yesterday, Curran relaying it on WEEI Afternoons.
So I did circle up with Mike afterwards and said, hey, did I misinterpret what you were saying? He said, no, I'm talking about that's my cardinal rule. You need to have trust and be decisive in every play call. I wasn't saying that that was lacking on Sunday. But there was no harm, no foul. He said, I'm glad you got a bunch of clicks. I said, I'm not in it for clicks. But it was... That was the extent of it. But, he has not been effusive in his praise throughout the season for Josh specifically. And he also said, look, I've kind of done that with everyone, which I don't necessarily, if I was going to go case by case, but I certainly wasn't going to go down that road with Mike in the very limited time I had to just catch him after the press conference for 28 seconds. But if he says that, then I believe it. You got to take people at their word. So, he said, look, we have no problem with any of the trust and decisiveness on the staff. We're doing great. And it was not specifically excising Josh from credit or blame in any instance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know when Vrabel says, and I definitely disagree with Curran on this. He told me that, so I got to take him at his word. I mean, if you want to go that way,
people have
fine.
Been known to not tell the truth every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not taking everybody at their word. But okay, when Vrabel says, I've kind of done that with everyone, that's like a half-truth.
Yeah.
He has done it. He did it. He was asked directly about, why am I blanking on the O-line coach's name? The guy from Jacksonville. Thank you. Marone. He kind of pivoted to the other guys. So he has done that, but he's done it consistently with McDaniels. In fairness to him, he's probably been asked about McDaniels more. But I think that's like a half-truth, not a full-truth. And even in Bedard's answer, Bedard's like, well, yeah, it's probably Vrabel's ego. It's like, oh, so there is something there.
Yeah, right,
like, even
right.
when you're getting laughed at, I'm sure that's the answer he got from the people he talks to in the building, brag. I'm sure that's the answer he got. Oh, it's just Vrabel and his ego. Oh, so there is an ego thing going on there. Oh, got it. Good to know.
No, I think Vrabel has a good amount in common with Belichick in that regard. Right, like I think there are certain similarities, and that's one of them. And I don't think either one of those guys. So I think anybody with like that kind of success, or even just the personality they have, they don't really want to be told what to do. And like sort of that is something that he was told what to do. Now I think it's worked out to this point. The team is way better than we expected it to be. The offense is overall better than we expected it to be. But yeah, I don't know about. I think there are examples when he's been asked about a coach, and then he gives credit to all these other coaches. But like. Nobody asked about like Ashton Grant, for example, like weeks and weeks ago. Like that was brought up. Like he was praising another coach rather than just like head on. Like, what do you think of McDaniels? He's like, well, Ashton Grant and like all these other guys that are working out too. You're like, all right, like that's sort of odd.
And even if he has done that with Marone and pivoted to some other coaches on the O-line and whatever, and he has done that in fairness to him.
Yeah.
Has he ever mocked any other play calls?
I don't think so.
Do you ever mock anybody else's play calls?
No.
I don't recall that. So to me, that's like a little half-truth by Vrabel. But anyway, okay, that's most of the book on that. Bedard got laughed at, and Curran circled up with Vrabel, and Vrabel says nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we got to believe it. 617-779-7937, big bounce-back week for the Patriots against the Ravens. You can weigh in on that. You can also talk about the game last night, how that impacts the Patriots. Are the Rams also frauds? Because people think the Patriots are frauds. Who had a worse loss? And did Stafford wrap up the MVP? We'll get to all your thoughts on that. And it's Top 5 Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We've been doing best ofs all week long. So we figured we'd do our best of top fives. We are going to rank all of our top fives.
How about top five?
All of them are on the table. We'll give you our top five top fives. That's the best way to say it, Keefe.
Yes.
Good work.
Yes, thank
Next.
You.
Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, and nothing says Christmas and the holiday season like Tommy Curran, so let's go to the guest line for Tommy Curran. I'll let Stiz bring that up because my computer is frozen. Tom Curran is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and Tommy Curran is powered by Verizon. Mr. Curran, how are we doing a week before Christmas?
Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. I love Christmas songs, and that's one of my top five.
Beautiful. We got to make a compilation of all his singing songs.
Do we need to?
Ken, we love singing. We just love singing.
I think Tom brings it, man. I think he nails all his lines and hits all his notes.
Big seller if you put that online.
No doubt.
Tom Curran's Christmas hits.
Soon it will be Christmas
Imagine.
Day, Tom.
I can't, imagine.
For charity, Tom. You can raise some money for charity.
Put a little cardigan on, red cardigan.
Yeah, like with a pipe in mouth by the fireplace.
The more we workshop this, the
Santa hat.
Better it could be. Tom, I was driving into the show on Tuesday, as I always do, in the big noon radio hit, Tommy Curran on Jones and Keefe. A topic popped up that I didn't necessarily expect, and I found quite interesting, given the tone of Mike Vrabel and some answers about Josh McDaniels. And I want to start there. You had a nice long discussion about Josh McDaniels, Mike Vrabel, their relationship. Could McDaniels be back? The thing I wanted to ask you, what scenario could you see? How would the scenario play out that Josh McDaniels wouldn't be back for 2026?
They decide they're better off without him, or he decides he's got a better opportunity elsewhere. And I think both of those would be remote possibilities. So those are really the only scenarios. You know, the reason Mike's words hit my ear funny on Monday was not just the dismissive way that he discussed the double pass. That was further down the list. It was that he made a point of saying, we want to be calling that the players and the coaches trust and that we're decisive about. And I said, well, in the context of the question, were those two things lacking? Because sometimes when you're listening to press conferences or interviewing people or listening to somebody else's interview on the radio, you have to infer things. So I inferred, to an extent, that that's what he was driving at. Well, maybe they didn't trust the plays. They didn't feel comfortable with the plays. They want to be decisive. So I did circle up with Mike afterwards and said, hey, did I misinterpret what you were saying? He said, no, I'm talking about that's my cardinal rule. You need to have trust and be decisive in every play call. I wasn't saying that that was lacking on Sunday. But there was no harm, no foul. He said, I'm glad you got a bunch of clicks. Said, I'm not in it for clicks. But that was the extent of it. But, he has not been effusive in his praise throughout the season for Josh specifically. And he also said, look, I've kind of done that with everyone, which I don't necessarily, if I was going to go case by case, but I certainly wasn't going to go down that road with Mike in the very limited time I had to just catch him after the press conference for 28 seconds. But if he says that, then I believe it. You got to take people at their word. So he said, look, we have no problem with any of the trust and decisiveness on the staff. We're doing great. And it was not specifically excising Josh from credit or blame in any instance. So, but that stuff does hit your ear, because the interesting thing is Mike does, as we all do, in a way we don't do with defense, he takes the opportunity to liberally talk about offense. And Teddy, I'm going to direct this to you. Maybe we do that because offense dictates and defense reacts. So you can't really call things on defense. So it's hard to sometimes second guess the defensive coordinator, because he's not the one starting the engine. It's the offensive coordinator who starts everything in motion for a play.
So, Tom, I just want to get like the AI summary, that thing you get when you Google something these days. So 48 hours later, you've talked to Mike Vrabel, and you believe the relationship between the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, and Mike Vrabel is a good, strong one where that certainly has the legs that it could be a long one.
I got nothing indicating that's not the case.
Okay.
From that brief interview.
What'd you say, 28 seconds?
It wasn't long, but it was just more. No, I wasn't questioning. We didn't have a lack of trust. We didn't have a lack of decisiveness. I'm just saying I want to see those things.
Perfect.
And I got no problem with Josh. We're doing great. Bang, done. Okay, see ya.
So, Tom, last time we saw the Wunderkind second-year sophomore sensation quarterback on Sunday, he was struggling in the second half. Only 7 points generated, and that was off of an offensive rookie of the year candidate's miraculous 65-yard run. Drake May had a bad second half, and he hasn't had a lot of great second halves recently. No signature comebacks to date for him. So I ask you this. What is your confidence level in Drake May, A, being able to turn around that bad performance, and B, should the Patriots actually be trailing against the Ravens come fourth quarter, your confidence in Drake May being able to lead the charge and come back and win?
I think my confidence level is the same as it was in Drake May becoming a top 10 or so quarterback before the season. I said it's probably going to happen, but until I see it, I haven't seen it. So I'm going to keep him down here around 21. Now that I've seen it and more, I'm confident that he would fit into the category of elite. He is an elite quarterback in 2025. Is he a great quarterback coming from behind? I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really proclaim that. He has the ability to do it. Does he have the receivers, the protection, the play calls, the poise himself? I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. So my confidence level would be a 5. And I don't know about the Ravens. I mean, do I expect them to be trailing against the Ravens in the fourth quarter? It's going to be close.
I agree with you, Tom. And I'm curious if you have any theories on why Steph Diggs' playing time, it's gone down the last three games. 4 games ago in Week 11 against the Jets, he had the most playing time he's had all year at 69%. He had 9 catches, 105 yards against the Jets. And then the last three games, considerably lower. The three lowest producing games he's had all season long have been the last three games. And it's just odd to me because he seems healthy. He hasn't been on any injury report. Why the decreased snap count in the last three games, considering how well he was playing up to that Jets game? Do you have any theories on why that might be, Tom?
My only main theory is personnel stuff, Teddy. You know, you've gotten in the last few games, you've gotten Stevenson back. Maybe you want to be running the ball a little bit more. I would really have to look at the position groupings, which you and I can absolutely do since we found that NFL Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We can go on there and see all the position groupings. But which ones is he out there with? Are they calling less position groups that involve three receivers, including Steph Diggs? So that would be one. I don't think that there's a lack of faith or trust in what he can provide, but he doesn't get a lot of looks. There's no denying that his looks are down. Kyle Williams has emerged a little bit. Travion Henderson has emerged. So I kind of more look at the things that have kind of jumped during the period of time. And I think it would be Travion Henderson touches and a little bit of Kyle Williams. Those are the main things that I think have really changed, Teddy.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, I feel like with Milton Williams out, the value of two defensive tackles has kind of been thrust in your face. Milton Williams, everybody's like, oh boy, the run defense fell apart when he left. Got to get him back. And Christian Barmore, I think, has disappointed many people in his ability to step up. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the season that Christian Barmore has had, is having, and is that a guy that's living up to his contract?
I think it's been good. Mostly, Andy, I do. I think that he has had a good season, especially when he's married up with Milton Williams next to him and Kyrus Tonga next to him. I think if defenses, offensive lines can concentrate on securing the one outlier, stupendous, hard-to-deal-with athlete up front, if Tonga and Milt Williams are out, then it's going to make it more difficult. Do I think he's living up to his contract? I think a lot of those contracts, like we could say the same thing about Stevenson. Has he had an okay year? Fumbles aside, yeah. Is he living up to the contract? No. It's a ridiculous contract, as was the Barmore contract, as Devon Godshaw told us at the time. So I don't know if he's living up to the contract, Andy, but I haven't looked at Barmore and said, man, he's killing him. So have you? Because you're bringing it up. You wouldn't ask me, am I missing the boat on that?
Well, we've talked a lot on this show, Ted and I. I'll roll him into this conversation, that he's a guy that he does not play at a $90 million level. And he, even with Milton Williams, you know, there was the whole pressures thing, but no sacks. And then he finally got one. And even Vrabel said something to the effect of, you know, you need your best players to play like you're their best player.
Do you want me to give, I can give you some just.
Oh, he's got numbers.
Numbers real quick. I mean, it's in PFF. Take it for what you will. I seem to think that I feel like my eyes are telling me this is what PFF feels as well. But you know, he's 18 tackles, a sack, six assists, no forced fumbles. His overall grade is 56.6. That ranks him 69th out of 129 defensive tackles.
Yeah,
so his run defense is by far his worst grade at 36.7. You know, his pass rush grade. He's in the top five and top eight in pressures. That's just kind of his biggest thing is pressures. But his overall grade is really down there.
Yeah, he doesn't play to his contract. I think that. It's been very difficult to tell whether or not they have a good run defense or not, because the beginning of the year when they stopped back after back before they were able to, reach 50 yards, we were getting missives from the team saying, this is historic. No team has done this in the Super Bowl era, held a lead rusher from the, I just don't look at them and see an imposing, bottling up, stifling run defense. You look at the numbers at the end of the game and they're not there. But I never really looked at them like that. So it's been hard for me to really – I don't think they're this bad either. But I've never thought that they were a really good run defense. What about, Teddy, this? Would you attribute to the production of Robert Spillane and Christian Ellis at all to the Barmore work? Sometimes I would say, look, let's look at how are the linebackers doing. Are they making a ton of tackles? Because then that would mean that – the defensive line's doing its job.
Well, it's kind of almost the leading tacklers in last week's game was Jalen Hawkins and Marcus Jones.
Not looking for that.
Yeah. So it's if the linebackers are making a lot of the tackles, it's usually because the D line aren't making their play. I really where it shows to me more than anything is against the run. He just gets rooted out a lot of times. Milton Williams has been a stud against the run. Neither have been really great against the pass, but Milton Williams has been better. I'm just kind of down on Barmore. I didn't mean to, jump in but that's my feeling.
No, I didn't have a strong opinion.
Yeah, I just think we haven't really noticed him, and there's a reason for that. I just think he's kind of been a no-show this year, but that's I don't mean to dance on his grave, but that's my feeling on it.
Yeah, they're going to need that, honestly, Sunday. And it's interesting when you look, I'm going to talk about it tonight on our show, is how much this matters, this game. Because divisionally, it's really tough for the Bills to catch the Patriots because of divisional record. The Patriots have a lead in that too. So even if that ends up being tied, in terms of conference, it's going to be really hard for the Patriots to catch the Broncos unless the Broncos lose twice and the Patriots win twice. And the Broncos do have the Chargers and Jaguars and the Chiefs mixed in. And the Patriots could get lapped by the Jaguars. If they finish in a tie with the Jaguars, they win you know, the Patriots win two, the Jaguars win three, they finish in a tie. The Jaguars have a better conference record. But when you look at it, the wild cards are pretty much set. It's Chargers, Bills, and Texans. So, and the Patriots are getting a home game either way in that first round. They're most likely not getting the seeding. So it doesn't really matter that much, even if they're 1, 2, or 3, and they're almost certain to win the division. So I was just about to say it's important to beat Baltimore, but the only reason it's important to beat Baltimore is to get your mind right for the playoffs and not lose two in a row down the stretch.
And it seems like it may be a whole lot more difficult for them to beat Baltimore, Tom, because as we harp on the defense to a certain degree, I'm not sure if you saw the injury report coming out of practice today, but no Spillane, no Landry, no Jones, and no Davis. So your number two corner, your top slot slash arguably best playing corner this season, your best edge rusher, your best linebacker. This may, you think this may turn into a shootout on Sunday and the Pats may have to win with offense?
Yes, I do think that they're going to have to win with offense because I think that Baltimore will put up points. They're difficult to stop on the ground. The Patriots don't have a strength in that case. I think Lamar Jackson is, despite the numbers, and I think they've only been over 200 yards passing twice since September. He's still a problem. So, yeah, they're going to have to score. And I'm anticipating a good game. And look, the other interesting thing about this Patriots entire season, Teddy, I've pointed out a few times on the post game, is it's really given them a great opportunity at different checkpoints to test themselves. You know, the first three games, then go ahead to Buffalo, then have a couple of games, quote unquote, off, then go to Tampa, then have a couple of easier games and home games. Now they have these back-to-back games, which are similar to what you would confront in a playoff situation. You win one, you go to another good team. So this is good preparation for them to see where they are, I think. Ted, do you agree with that at all, the way a season? Like, remember the 2021 Patriots?
Yep.
They were not that good.
Nope.
They went 10-7. They got blasted, but they're beating Jacksonville 50-10 and the Jets and Colts and Sam Ellinger or whoever the hell it was. They're just croaking teams. I'm like, this team is not that good. And they weren't.
And I declared them the best team in the AFC going into the bye, and then they finished the 2-3. Or no, excuse me, they lost two out of their last three. And then we saw what happened in the playoffs, Tom. So I was, yeah, that was a total misread on my part. And I think you're absolutely right. This is a game in which they kind of need, you know, let's face it, Miami and the Jets aren't going to be much of a test. They kind of need to have a good performance to give them the collective confidence I think they need going into the playoffs for sure. But, Tom, I want to ask you just one more quick question about kind of what Phil has been keyed on all week, and that's just maybe the Buffalo Bills found a way to stop Drake May. And I've heard you and him talk a lot about this, so I just maybe get your Reader's Digest version on kind of, you know, maybe teams will start playing them too high to kind of take away the big play and then play man, and that's kind of the way in which you stop Drake May, because I thought the Bills were very effective in doing it that way.
Yeah, and I think that you could only do things as a quarterback. I think if you gave Drake a different host of players around him, he wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But in that instance, if they're playing man, you got to get guys who can uncover. So does that mean you got to get it to Mario Douglas more often, who should be able to get open against any kind of coverage because he's impossible to cover? So they just didn't have enough plays, Teddy, in my estimation, in the second half to establish that kind of rhythm they needed to have to close the game in the way that they started it. So I wouldn't jump and say he can't do that.
Yeah.
Because I always think these Patriots teams and your Patriot teams and any good team looks at what it sucked at, gets in the lab, comes back the next week with a different solution and plays better. So it certainly was effective. I just didn't think the sample size was hefty enough to sit there and say, yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah, that's fair.
Tom, appreciate you joining us with the holidays and everything. I don't think we'll talk to you for a couple weeks, so have a Merry Christmas.
You don't want to talk Christmas?
Nope, I will not be available on Christmas. I'll be busy. There'll be eggnog and gifts and music. So have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and your family, and we'll touch base on the other side.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. You too, Tom.
Tom Karn, NBC Sports Boston. Up next, we're going to break down one of his answers. It was the answer we all wanted to hear. He was in the midst of this whole Vrabel, McDaniels, what's their relationship like? Well, he went to the horse's mouth. He went to Mike Vrabel. We'll hear about that next here on WEEI.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up, what up?
Well, it's almost spring-like outside, Curtis. Near spring-like outside this morning, Curtis.
I told you there'd be a late-week warm-up.
Yeah, well, I believe you promised near 60 tomorrow, right?
Quick addendum to that. It's going to be warmest in the morning. It'll be balmy. And then we got a little front coming through, so we might even have some snow showers later in the evening.
Okay, well, we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about this morning. Five defensive regulars for the New England Patriots did not practice yesterday. I don't know if that's the Wiggy. You would know better than I. As you mentioned yesterday, I did. None of us here played the game professionally, so I don't know if that's just the December injury stuff, or if it's a serious concern for you heading into Sunday in the Ravens.
No, like, serious concern for me is if a guy didn't play this past Sunday, right?
And is continuing to be.
Yeah, and is continuing.
So, like, Spillane.
Right, that's more.
Spillane in a boot yesterday in the locker room, that is a concern.
Yeah, because he's somebody that didn't play on Sunday. I think that Landry and both Jones played, and other guys on that list that have played, you know, maybe they might have nick something up, re-aggravated. Yesterday was, what, Wednesday? So that's your install day. We kind of talked a little bit about that yesterday. So maybe Vrabel could be like, all right, you're just going to take mental reps here. But Spillane would be the one, because he didn't play on Sunday, that I'd be like, all right, what's the concern?
And you missed him on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, you definitely could have used him, especially against that run game in the second half with Buffalo.
But in general, I mean, one of the things that Mike Vrabel was complaining about post game immediately was missed tackles.
Yeah,
and so you missed him. Although, isn't Lamar dealing with the super flu?
Yes,
isn't the super flu making its way around the Ravens?
My man is on the injury report and getting a day off from practice every single week with something different. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But some
kind of like you in the flex days.
I mean, I took what, like the second least on the show?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Some coach
might direct that comment elsewhere. Thank you.
I actually think it would be good if we did the first annual Arcan Award. And it goes to the man or woman that takes the most flex days.
Yeah, a lot of time off there. Yeah.
Oh, he's been the leader in the clubhouse for the past couple of years?
Last year he was number one, I believe. Was he number one last year?
Last year. This year he was tied with Curtis and I.
Okay. So 2-year average, we're getting killed. I mean, I think last year he had 42.
All right.
He
needs to win like 3 in a row in order for us to name the award after him, right? 1 year might be a little bit.
That's true.
I still can't believe there's no H in his name. I always spelt his name with an H.
Oh,
Archand.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, I thought you were saying invisible. In the first name. There is
Gosh.
An H.
Gosh.
Yeah, wouldn't that really name. Be pronounced Archand?
Yeah.
I thought it was a silent H.
Right.
The C would not be silent.
No, yeah. The H. No. I got you.
I apologize to him.
You never know how people spell their names, but I think what
Sorry, you still have trouble spelling mine.
I think what a lot of guys do in the NFL, Greg and Chime, is that
what
you.
What about Curtis? What about Courtney?
Well, you two are talking about
okay,
it.
Okay, Tom.
Thank you.
Right. You two are talking about it. Is a lot of coaches give certain guys off, a day here and there, sometimes even every week, you know, just to kind of, if they've been dealing with something all week long, like you said, Lamar Jackson's been getting like a day every week. I could see that. Some guys, when they get to that status, I remember Steve McNair hardly ever practiced and did a lot of mental reps, but some guys of that level get those type of days off. You know? It's
so
not
don't,
common.
So don't panic is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would say don't panic, and right. I would say with the Lamar thing, you know, hopefully the super flu gets
right.
Like slows them down.
No panic. Yeah, no panic yet. We'll wait until Sunday night.
If they lose Sunday night, there will be panic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about the expectations and whether they've changed or not. I mean, if you lose this game on Sunday night, then you have got to you may have to co-sign Cam Newton. I am loathe to do that.
Victory lap.
I do not. I mean, really, honestly, if they you got to You need to win this football game. Like
Of course.
And if you don't, yeah, we may have to reset. Certainly a turnaround. It just may not be the full turnaround that some of us thought.
I would ask the question, because you brought up if they lose this game. I almost feel like they can't lose another game. Obviously, with three left, they can't lose no more games, because if they do, we're instantly going to go, or people are instantly going to go to Cam Newton fools goals.
Well, I might
jump on board a little bit.
They're not going to lose to the Jets. They're not going to lose to Miami.
Miami's got a shot now that Tua's not playing.
Yeah. I was going to say the other way around.
Well, no, I don't expect them to lose. That's why I feel like even with Baltimore, you have to win this game. You just run the table, win out, and I think that's the expectations of most people. And if you do that going into the postseason, I think a lot of fans, obviously locally and nationally, be like, all right, it's time to see what the Patriots are really made of. But if you stub your toe a little bit, I think people are going to be like, you know, it's their schedule. Oh, yeah, they're probably going to get bounced in the first round.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot to discuss this morning. John Henry has an infusion of cash coming, it would appear.
So then,
and I'm sure he will reinvest that right into the baseball operation here in Boston.
I can't be the only one that started reading that story and got really, really excited.
Yeah. Not Courtney. Courtney was... Yes.
Nope, I was not. I've been on the same side as Curtis since the beginning, that I thought it was a bad idea that the Henrys bought them.
I thought
it was
the Penguins.
Just the Steelers. Just the Steelers, yeah.
Actually, she calls them the Gwynns.
The Gwynns.
Pretty good deal for them, though.
Oh, yeah.
So how long ago did they buy the Penguins?
5 years
2021.
Ago?
Okay. Uh-oh. And for?
$900 million.
900, and they're selling it for
between 1.4 and 1.6 or 7.
1.4 and 1.6 between, which would be 1.5. So that's 600 million there?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Not bad and for 4 years.
Yeah, wow.
What's the taxes on that?
It's got to be half
of
it.
It's very, not like it would be in Saudi, but very expensive.
Well, the Red Sox are operating at a loss, so that helps. I don't know if you know that or not. Have you ever heard that from Sam Kennedy?
Yeah, what a freaking group of people. If they had sold the Red Sox yesterday, I would have cannonballed into the Charles.
Oh, they ain't gonna do that investment.
Can you stop promising those things? You never do them.
Yeah. I mean, new audience. Some people might be duped.
And I'm sorry, it's between $1.7 billion and $1.8 billion.
Okay, yeah. Oh,
doubled it.
They're walking away with $800-900 million in 4 years.
Not a bad investment. I guess that's why he's a billionaire. Smart on his part. Yes.
Well, he's a billionaire because he brings it all in, and then he never sends any of it out. He never spends any of it.
Well, that's what billionaires tend to do. That's why billionaires, the richest people tend to be the cheapest people. I mean.
All right. On the show, leads coming up in about 10 minutes. At least we will start our leads this morning. They set it at 7:20, and that will include what sad Joe Burrow said yesterday about his future in the NFL. And I don't know what is up with Joe Burrow, but he's whoa Burrow.
He's like,
woe is me Burrow, and does not seem happy. I don't even know if another team or a new head coach will fix it. He's not going to get a new head coach out of that.
To me, it seems like there's something going on in his personal life as well as professional, because he's brought up his personal life since the beginning, since that first press conference where he seemed really down. He said, I've got a lot going on personally and professionally. I hope everything's okay.
He's very emo. Is that what it is? Where's his sunset pictures?
Yeah, it was kind of like emo Joe. Right. Emo
man.
Joe.
It's like Greg on the roof that one time.
I think
not emo on the roof. That was celebrating Boston. Was playing. Can a man not play Augustana, the all-time great ballads?
While looking up down from the 20th floor? No, they cannot.
With my Kleenexes life is on the ground.
I have nothing. That's why I was
confused.
About.
That's why I was confused.
My lord.
Ken sent an APB.
Also, speaking of Ken, we had a foundation event last night, and I believe Ken still this morning is humping the leg of Jason Veritek. If you could reach out, Curtis, if you could reach out to Ken and get him off Jason Veritek's leg, it would be fantastic. You know how people are at a party and one person is clearly dominating the conversation of another for way too long?
Yeah.
And the person looks like they're in a hostage video. Like, that was Jason Veritek last night.
So you're saying Veritek got a very dull, weird-looking growth?
Literally, at one point, I overheard Ken say, you know what I've always wanted to know? Where's the toughest stadium to play on the road?
I was like,
oh, my God.
Ken. Oh, no.
That guy's in charge of content.
Was he? Did he have a few pops?
No, I mean, it's Christmas time.
Right.
I mean, who didn't?
Yeah.
Honestly.
You should see
so you can
Ken,
blame it on that.
Yeah.
You should see Ken after a Franzia. That guy gets wild.
Yeah.
They have, at the Capitol Grill now in Boston, they have a beautiful portrait of Tim Wakefield, which they had commissioned and put up in the bar there, and it's really amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you see Brianna, Wake's daughter, was at the clinic this week talking to kids and making their days better? And
She was?
She was at the clinic.
Awesome.
It was an unbelievable way to carry on that legacy.
Yeah. All right. Well, they said it's 7:20. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45. It's a Bruins Thursday. Judd Surratt will join us. That team has won 5 of their last 6. And so we'll talk about that. And Edmonton tonight in town with Judd Surratt at 8:20 this morning. Hill Notes at 9:20 or 9:30. And right now, here is Courtney and what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by Shaw's. I really hope that we do a lot of Christmas rejoins today. I'm in the Christmas spirit. It really hit me today.
Well, I'm fine with that. They're not going to be all of your choice.
Right, of course.
You and I, like, oftentimes differ on the how good a Christmas song is. Like, we cannot be, like, I'm not doing Mariah Carey.
I'm fine with no Mariah Carey.
I refuse to play Mariah Carey. I mean, you can do it after I leave, after tomorrow. Mm. That's it.
There's a Cher request I have.
Cher.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
okay. And a Britney Spears one.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Those
are
my two requests.
I thought you were going to say something like John Lennon or something like that. Doesn't he have a good Christmas song?
Yeah, he has a lot.
We've played that one, actually.
We
played
that one? Craziest thing about Britney that K-Fed turned into the good parent?
It's crazy.
I don't... What is up with her?
I don't know. It's very...
Is there anybody who can intervene who loves her or no?
I do think Jamie, her sister, does love her. And Jamie's daughter just posted a TikTok singing a Britney Spears song. So I don't think that there's trouble between those two. And I hope that Jamie can
Well, when your family bleeds dry, you tend to go down into the, you know, go down in a spiral in a circle because their family are not but leeches.
Well, no, Jamie Lynn Spears had a full career.
No, but I'm talking
actress
about
her own. Zoe 101.
Yeah, I'm talking about her parents. I'm not saying her sister, but her parents. You don't think if the parents leeched off of Britney, you don't think they were leeching off of the other daughter? That's certainly what happens.
So you feel like however she acts or whatever is upsetting her, it's all on her parents trying to steal all her money.
Of course. I mean, probably driving her crazy her whole life with money and stealing
They locked
from
her up for a while.
Right. Yeah, they wanted her money.
Basically institutionalized her.
They were like, basically, like, listen, you go out there and make as much money as you can. We're going to take it and use it.
Yeah. Very sad. Trending Now brought to you by Shaw's. The big news yesterday, of course, John Henry and Fenway Sports Group have agreed to sell the Pittsburgh Penguins. The sale is reportedly between $1.7 and $1.8 billion. Henry bought the Penguins in 2021 for $900 million. The Bruins welcome the Oilers to town tonight. Puck drop at 7. Greg's talked about how well they've been playing and how well Jeremy Swayman's been playing, and I think I know why now.
Mm.
Congratulations are in order. His fiance is expecting their first child.
Oh.
So I think that now it makes sense why he was so joyous when speaking about her out of the blue when he talked to us last week.
Oh, yes.
So she made that announcement yesterday.
Okay.
Nice.
The Patriots had a banged-up squad yesterday. Carlton Davis, Christian Ellis, Marcus Jones, Harold Landry, and Robert Spillane did not participate. Spillane was seen in a walking boot, and Christian Barmore was limited, which they say was not injury-related.
Curtis, no putting one past the goaltender when it comes to the Swayman story. That old classic.
Okay. Smart. Not going to get into that road.
Thursday Night Football will see Rams at Seahawks. Kickoff is set for 8:15. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. The holiday season is a busy time to help Shaw's and Star Market offer free curbside pickup or get delivery. Just order ahead and we'll have groceries ready for your curbside or we can deliver to your door. Try it this holiday season. Shaw's and Star Market can save you time and money. That's what's trending. Our leads coming up next.
WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Your holiday plans just got tastier at the 99 Restaurant. Picture this, creamy, dreamy new lobster carbonara or satisfying new baked stuffed shrimp and lobster casserole. Celebrate big with us. You gotta love the nines.
Give back right now and all the way up until the end of the year during the holiday season with the Share the Love event, which is going on at Subaru of New England. You can drive home in a brand new 2025 Subaru Outback. When you buy it, Subaru is going to hook you up with 0% financing for up to 36 months, or you can lease it and you're only going to pay $285 a month. And that lease is for 36 months with $5,160 due when you sign. The 2025 Outback features standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and advanced Subaru safety features for all-around safety and confidence on every single drive. Share.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So that was Mike Vrabel yesterday. Asked about deep shots with Drake May on third and short. Yeah. I think that was a Ben Volen question.
Trying to win.
And, well, it came on the heels of a long, meandering answer about Josh McDaniels. And, you know, he was really asked about, the second half struggles of the offense, and it had to have been a 2.5-3 minute answer. Where it
Josh
was just,
isn't going to matter on Sunday.
No, that's not it.
That was about Josh Allen. But I think the tone of it was more time, Mike, if we could. What was the tone of that answer? I think in large part was Josh isn't going to matter. So it was a long meandering answer where he kind of said, "Well, there's some things we'd want back, but then
I wouldn't change anything.
Wouldn't change anything. Not going to second guess anything." So it seemed contradictory at times.
A bit.
Then you get to that answer. And, he keeps saying we got to stay on track, which feels to me like that's his way of letting Josh know they should have run the football a little bit more.
Yeah, they got to be moving forward.
Like, if we're not on track and we're 3rd and 9, then we're behind the sticks, and then we're predictable, and then we're opening ourselves up to all these pressures, et cetera. And so we got to stay on track, and if we're in short yardage, we have to have a great plan to convert this week.
Yeah.
Does that mean you didn't have a great plan last week?
Is that like another?
That's what it sounds like. Veiled, maybe not even all that veiled right. shot at Josh McDaniels. So I think that's going to be interesting too. Like the ESPN FPI prediction, Keith, right? 19-17. If they score 17 points and lose,
that's not enough.
And that's after they basically went scoreless in the second half outside of one broken play against Buffalo. The offense and the play calling and Drake May and all of that is really going to be under a microscope this week.
Yeah, and I don't subscribe to the comparisons to 2021. I know that's been brought up a little bit, but one thing that we did notice in 2021 is after one of the big games, I think it was like Jaguars or Jets, they scored like a million points.
Yeah, it was like 50 points against the Jags. Yeah.
But then the wheels really kind of fell off, and it was like they limped into the playoffs. And Mac Jones really got kind of exposed, I think, at that point. And then obviously the playoff game was just a rout. I really don't predict that. I don't see that happening. But if you lose back-to-back games in this manner and the offense looks the way it does,
I'm more willing to go there.
Yeah, you at least can draw the parallels a little bit more.
Me too, because didn't we get a call? We got a call earlier this week or late last week?
Oh, no, somebody was like, they are this team. Yeah. I'm like, nah, that's a little strong.
Yeah, I forget who that was, but and I disagreed with it at the time, and I still disagree with it today. You lose to Baltimore? I'll be more willing to go there next week if you lose that game, which, by the way,
especially because this isn't a 10-4 Baltimore Ravens team and Lamar is an MVP candidate.
Right.
He's not playing as well this year. They're 7-7. They might not even be a playoff team when it's all said and done.
So I'm still picking them, although I feel worse and worse the closer we get to it, but I am picking
them. Are you more confident in your Delaware bet or the Patriots?
At this point, now the Patriots. text line says a close, hard-fought loss Sunday would be a decent result.
It's a do-or-die
game for Baltimore. Probably not a huge game for the Patriots. I mean,
they're all different, though. Like, what does that mean? Like, is it, to your point, is it 19-17? And it's just, like, a lot of punts, and they turn it over a few times, and they kind of, like, grind out this game? Or is the offense getting into the red zone, scoring touchdowns? You know, they get outscored. Because I think one, like, almost built-in excuse would be Derrick Henry has a big game, and you're like, no Milton Williams. Like, that would be an easy excuse. Or no Robert Spillane. Like, no running games. And, like, are those guys?
I'm not going to allow for the Spillane one, to be honest.
They've struggled. The combination of the two.
Their run defense has struggled with Spillane in there. I mean,
that's true.
It was bad against Buffalo and Spillane wasn't there. But it was bad with Spillane before that. The Tampa game wasn't great with Milt the Stilt. But other than that, he's basically missed everything. I'll give you Milton Williams. I'm not giving you Spillane.
No, that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, that might be one that you hear. And that might be one that's a little bit more like, it's not just, this happened now, so what chance do they have to fix it come playoff time? It's like, well, you might not face Derrick Henry again. You might not face James Cook at least till like the next round. And then
you might be
if
healthier.
You get Milton Williams back, then I feel a little bit better overall.
It's true. So I think the amplification of the criticism of Josh McDaniels, which again, just to reiterate, started with Mike Vrabel. It started with Mike Vrabel on Monday morning on this radio station. And then
Josh isn't going to matter on Sunday.
It was about Josh Allen, but I think that's the tone of his answers about Josh McDaniels. People don't like the criticisms, though, of McDaniels. I saw this from Brian Hoyer, friend of WEEI Afternoons. This was a good tweet yesterday.
Yeah, Tuesday guest, Brian Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
Well, he quote tweeted Savage, our guy Savage. The media narrative around Josh McDaniels is so bizarre.
Okay.
Hoyer quote tweeted that and said, so stupid.
Oh,
they lose one game and the media has to find something to make headlines with. Sad state of the world we live in.
Yeah.
This is a sad day. It's a bad day.
Because of this.
That's what's sad
about the
world.
It's a sad state of the world because of this. Nothing else. I can't think of anything else that's been going on in the world. But you know what's really getting me down is this talk about Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel not being 100% on the same page.
Yeah.
This keeps me up at night. Not anything else. The rest of the world is fine.
Yeah.
But what really makes me sad is the talk about Josh McDaniels. Okay. Have a little perspective.
Not a tone-deaf answer whatsoever.
No.
Also, I'd like to point out,
total should be somewhere between 8 and 11 games.
Good. Well, he's on it.
He's still going to miss it.
He's going to miss.
He's still
going to
miss.
Yeah, they need one more, and he's going to swing and miss.
He gave a 4-win range, and he's still going to miss. I would love to point out, Brian Hoyer, just so you know, is not biased whatsoever when it comes to Josh McDaniels.
I mean, he didn't
just have him on his podcast. He didn't play for him.
No.
And so when it's a sad state. What was it again?
Sad state of the world we live in. I agree.
Sad state of the world we live in. That is an unbiased, unvarnished opinion from Brian Hoyer, just so you know.
Because somebody listens to Mike Vrabel talk and tries to connect the dots. It's a sad state.
No, I agree. It's a sad world we live in because of that.
There's nothing to see here. Okay, fine. There's nothing to see here. This is a, what a miserable state of the world. Yeah, 8-11 I'd like to update my Celtics prediction.
Yep.
Somewhere between 42 and 62 wins. They're going to be somewhere in there. It's basically the same thing.
Bruins are going to
get... They only play 17 games. You don't get four picks.
Bruins are getting between 90 and 110 points.
Okay.
You think that's too high? I might have gone too high.
Maybe 80.
I might have gone too high.
80 to 105.
80 to 110. That's See, my range.
Hopefully you find that sweet spot.
Good.
This is a good prediction.
It's like 8 to 11. 80 to 110. It's like 8 to 11.
Same thing.
Exactly. Our pal Coach is up in New Hampshire. What's up, Coach?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. If I'm nitpicking, please point it out. But I've been concerned all year long with our approach philosophically, end of the half. It seems like the priority is keep the ball away from the other team. The second level of priority is, okay, we'll settle for a field goal. And last, which in my opinion should be first, when you have timeouts and time and Drake May to score a touchdown. I think it's going to bite him in the butt. It might have bit him last week a little bit. If I'm nitpicking, let me know. Thanks.
No, I mean, it's a nitpick, but it's interesting to look at.
Josh isn't going to matter on Sunday.
Well, you remember the one game? What was the game where they had the ball late in the half and
got the Diggs touchdown? That was Tampa.
Well, there was that. No, there was the other game where it ended up being a turnover and a touchdown for the other team. Was it Atlanta, maybe?
It was Atlanta.
It was Atlanta where it was like they started calling timeouts and like they could have just ran the ball out. But Atlanta was calling timeouts, so then they decided to go for it. But then they had a turnover and a lot of touchdowns. So that was one where you're like, you wish they just kind of ate the ball. This past week, I guess he's hoping for a touchdown, but that might have more to do with their red zone stuff than their clock management. Right? Like, they got down the field and kicked a field goal. I thought that was actually pretty good.
Me too. I have zero problem with how they approach the It's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And I think Vrabel looked at it and says, we can't give Josh Allen any time before halftime. And so they bled out the whole clock and they kicked a field goal. Didn't they do the same thing against the Giants? They had a field goal before halftime against the Giants, I think, off the top of my head.
I think that's right.
It's like, maybe that's a team you can be more aggressive against. It's Jackson Dart and his lady glasses. And, you know, I'd be a little less concerned stomping on the gas pedal against the Giants. I thought it was a good approach, honestly, against Buffalo. I would say that is a nitpick, but it's okay to have nitpicks on this show.
That's fine. That means the team's good. You wouldn't be nitpicking a horrible team.
It's a good point. 617-779-7937. We expected Steph Diggs, or we're at least bracing for Steph Diggs to go nuclear yesterday, because Vrabel on Monday morning called out McDaniels. Earmuffs, Brian Hoyer, but he did.
Yeah.
Then McDaniels threw his pals in the media.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go through the whole Quick Snap podcast to hear any criticisms of Diggs and his route running.
It's in my queue.
But I heard it elsewhere.
Yep.
So McDaniels threw his pals in the media, I think, called out Diggs. So I was ready to hear Diggs clap back.
Okay.
He really didn't. He had the opportunity. He was teed up.
He's still in the honeymoon phase.
About his reduction in snaps. Here's what he had to say about the reduced snaps and limited playing time, if you will.
We didn't see you on the field this much last week with the Bulls. How was it adjusting to fluctuating time?
I don't know, for real. Like, just trying to get used to it. I mean, you know, it kind of was the same kind of in the beginning of the year, too. So, I mean, I just got to, you know, I just try to take advantage of the opportunities I do get. And when I am out there, be a vessel, be a positive force rather than, you know, being any other way. So, you know, I'm adjusting to it. Like, I just try to do what I'm asked, you know, and then, like, you know, handle it the best way I can. You know, I'm always going to be out there. I want to make plays and I want to play at a high level. But, you know, we got a lot of skill guys. We got a lot of amazing players. So, you know, I'm just doing what I can.
Would you like to ask more of you? Would you like them to ask you to do more?
Hey, man, that's up to y'all.
Okay, so that's the closest he came to a critique.
I don't
blame him for that.
No, he's being a good teammate still. He is at 55% of the offensive snaps for the season. The last game he was at 50, which was actually up from the Giants game.
Was it the Jets game?
And the Bengals game. The Jets game, he was 68.7.
Oh, wow, okay. Yep.
No, but I'm saying Cincinnati and New York, he was under 50.
Yep.
And then the loss to Buffalo, he was exactly at 50.
No, so I asked that poorly. So the last time he really played a significant amount of snaps was the Jets game.
Which he had 9 catches for 105 yards.
And he also said after that game he broke his finger.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
So
Andy said he got his hip hurt in that game too, a hip pointer.
Yeah, that was the one.
He said that last week?
Yeah, that was the one where he had a couple of drops against the Jets. One where people thought May threw a hospital ball. I remember people saying this at the time, and I thought Diggs dropped it. There, you could kind of see it on that play.
Well, so if you look at it this way, so he had kind of three quiet games to start the season, right? They at least targeted him 7 times in the first game. But then the fourth game of the season, he went over 100 yards for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth game of the season was the Bills game, which is still his best game. He's targeted a season high 12 times, 10 catches, 146 yards. Those are all season highs. Then he kind of dipped a little bit as far as overall production. However, he started to get in the end zone.
Yeah, the touchdown started to go
up.
So
against Cleveland, Atlanta, and Tampa, three consecutive games with a touchdown, followed by a 100-yard game against the Jets. That's when we started talking about, and we even played Gronk and Edelman saying, hey, he's coming off the knee injury. He's going to be even better late in the year. He's going to have a 1,000-yard season. We both did the math independently about him needing to get 1,000 yards.
Some of us did this rate prior to the injury and after. But yes, that was independent math. Yes.
We kind of crunched the numbers there, and we're like, yeah, he's going to have to improve his production. But if he does, and I kind of believed Gronk and Edelman at the time, we were like, yeah, he might get 1,000 yards this season. The next three games, though, he's only combined for just over 90 yards. In three straight games. So I wonder, as much as we're talking about, you know, what's the team bounce back? What's Drake May's bounce back? How are they going to look these final three games? I'm looking at Steph Diggs, too, because he hasn't been in the end zone since week 10. You know, he hasn't really been overly productive since the week 11 game.
That's his last touchdown? Was that one against Tampa we were just talking about?
Yeah, he only has three on the season. They came in three straight weeks.
Huh.
And he was only targeted four times last week, four the week before that. And then tied for a season low three targets in the win against Cincinnati. So, all right, like, he's been a good teammate. He answered all the questions nicely yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Like, I was expecting a blow up. You didn't get it.
But let's see where this goes. Like, another thing to monitor. You know, Sunday Night Football, all eyes on him. He's had a couple of good primetime games so far. Two of his best games came in primetime.
And he's from Maryland, right?
So, yeah.
So let's he mentioned that
see how he does.
In his press conference, too. He's like, I like playing there. It's a homecoming for me. So,
talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on.
it's approaching it.
Yeah.
I'd like them to play him more snaps. Like, I'm annoyed that he's not playing more snaps. Maybe it's an injury thing, but he's only topped 60% of snaps twice since, as you said, the Buffalo game. He barely cracked it against Atlanta, and then he played 69 against the Jets. Other than that, he's basically a 50% player. You would hope in the postseason, or maybe even in a big game like Sunday, they'd unleash him, but...
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
No, I'm kind of done holding my breath on that.
No, I think it's 50%, and you hope that, you know, when he's out there, Drake's looking for him, and then when he's not, that might be more the running place, honestly. Like, that'd be another breakdown, like a real deep dive, is like the percentages of snaps. If he only played 26 snaps... In last week.
Yeah, how many were pass plays?
Right. I bet like a high percentage.
And is that a tell?
It kind of is. They used to do this all the time Sonny Michelle and James White.
Well,
don't
say that. That's a sad state of the world if you point that out with Josh McDaniels. Don't say that.
That's what it kind of feels like.
You know, if the man has a tell and it's a really obvious giveaway for the defenses, don't say that about Josh. That's a sad state of the world.
Kyle Williams comes in to block and then occasionally run one deep. That's about it. And Steph Diggs out there, they're going to pass.
Then they throw it deep, and like 25% of the time it's complete.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
20.
Well, 15, I know. 15. He's hurting Drake May's overall numbers. Yeah.
617-779-7937. More your feedback here. We have more thoughts on Drake May, his quarterback class from 2024 versus another quarterback class, which recently we had propped up very, very high. I think we need to relook at that one.
Knock it down a peg.
And I wonder if it's a cautionary tale for this new draft class. Let's also get to Jason Tatum. Brad Stevens, some very interesting comments yesterday about Tatum and his return. That's next.
Just trying to get used to it. I mean, you know, it kind of was the same kind of in the beginning of the year, too. So, I mean, I just got to, you know, I just try to take advantage of the opportunities I do get. And when I am out there, be a vessel, be a positive force rather than being any other way. So, you know, I'm adjusting to it. Like, I just try to do what I'm asked, you know, and then, like, you know, handle it the best way I can. You know, I'm always going to be out there. I want to make plays, and I want to play at a high level. But, you know, we got a lot of skill guys. We got a lot of amazing players. So, you know, I'm just doing what I can.
Those Patriots' number one wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, in a question about snap counts, play time, how much he's on the field. And he had an interesting answer. I don't think it was terrible. Like, I don't, you know, if you're one of those like, oh, it's going to end badly, this will go sideways. I don't think anything's going sideways. But also doesn't necessarily marry up with the reality of the season. He said it's the same way early in the year. Well, he's kind of been consistent all year. 56%, 51, 52, went up to 63, down to 50, up to 59, down to 53. Like last week, it was 50% of the snaps. It was he's been basically a 50% snaps guy this year. And from my perspective, Fitzy, here on WEEI Afternoons, he played more than I would have expected early in the year.
Yep.
And he's playing a little less than I would expect late in the year.
You know, agreed.
I generally assume ACL guys get, you know, having watched Wes Welker or Julian Edelman or any of those guys, and I think they even mentioned it. I think I saw a clip from Welker and Gronk talking about this, like, late in the year is when you start to actually realize you're back to who you are. You've kind of knocked off all the rust. We haven't seen an uptick lately from Stephon Diggs, like, oh, he's at full health now and it's almost nut cutting time. He's going to play 85% of the snaps. He's the number one receiver. It's been very consistent. Is that an issue, Fitzy? Are you surprised by that? Does he need to be on the field more if he is your number one wide receiver? What are your thoughts on his usage?
He's also 32.
Sure.
Yeah, he ain't no spring chicken now.
Tom Brady's 100 and said he could go out and dominate if you gave him a 3 weeks to prepare or whatever.
Yeah, and that's helpful because they play the same position. So, Stephon Diggs, we may be in load management territory now. Like, this could very well be like, okay, amazing you came back from the ACL. Wow, all that off season effort you put in, the training, the rehab, boom, came back stronger than anyone thought. Because I remember you and Ted thought he might very well start on the PUP. Well, nope, he was back, and he was a major contributor early on. Week 5, feels like he peaked. Now, that's not to say that he hasn't had some good games since then. It was only just over a month ago. He had 9 catches for over a buck against the Jets. Granted, that is also the Jets. I don't think he's managing any injuries, Andy. I just think right now, like, he is kind of what he is. Like, 1 week he's going to give you 3, the other is 5. Maybe they make him the focal point Sunday night against the Ravens, whose secondary can be very hit or miss. 1 week they look unstoppable. The next week they look very beatable. But problem? No. Something to, like, put a check mark next to, like, see me next week about this? Yes.
Steph Diggs and the wide receivers are one of the many issues surrounding this football team that I think people are evaluating, analyzing. 617-779-7937. We're going to get to your phone calls. Also, an interesting text came in response to, are the Patriots a Super Bowl team? They said, if you had asked this question a half a game ago, the answer would have been absolutely. And that is a great response. If you had had that poll question at halftime of Sunday's game, up 24-7 over the Buffalo Bills, every person would have voted they are absolutely a Super Bowl team. And then the second half happened, and now we have split votes, and now we have people saying, well, if things go their way. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Chris in Holyoke. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I heard the question asked earlier, where is this hate coming from? I kind of feel like it's maybe from you guys. The beginning of the week, I heard a lot about Fool's Gold. Now, not just your show,
okay,
but Fool's Gold, fraudulent. I called in a couple times to let you guys know that we were playing against an MVP in Josh Allen, and you liked that point, so I appreciate you guys. But I do think some of your listeners are taking on your advice.
All right, thanks for the call, Chris. Blame the media. It's always the media's fault if there's some negativity in town, if we're questioning things. No, I think what this is people are watching the football games, right? Like, you played a good football team, and you had them on the ropes, and then something that has become quite consistently part of your makeup came to fruition, and you couldn't step on their throat. You couldn't choke them out. In fact, you got choked out. You lost the game. Your run defense, which has been trending in the wrong direction for what, a half a season now? It started a little bit before Milton Williams and then obviously fast-tracked with Milton Williams out of the lineup. I just think a lot of people are analyzing this. And I also think part of it is too, Fitzy, don't you analyze a team more closely when you think there are higher expectations?
When you have higher expectations, B, when the stakes are getting higher.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, if this was last year's team, do you think we would give a flying fiddler's blank about how this team is performing in the second half versus the first, or what Josh Allen did to them in December? No, last year we were laughing at how many times Ladd McConkey scored against the Patriots because he wanted to show them up after Jelani Tavai told us we all needed to know our place. Now it's like, no, wait, guys. You know, I remember, like, trying not to make a big deal out of the fact that you went into the locker room against Joe Flacco and no Jamar Chase, up 17-13, and you barely were able to escape with a 26-20 win a couple weeks ago against a Bengals team that didn't have its top two football players. But that was fine, and you just continued to showcase that you're able to get out ahead of a lead and barely hold on. Well, this time, Your only answer to Josh Allen was your now offensive rookie of the year frontrunner, Travion Henderson's insanely good effort to run right, then realize he had to run left and go 65 yards to the touchdown house. Otherwise, you had nothing in the second half. And that's, I don't want to hear Buffalo's defensive superiority and game planning or Josh Allen's Superman suit. If you were good enough for 24 in the first half, you should have been good for more than 7 in the second.
So when you have 3 wins and you struggle in an area on your football team, you know when it resonates? Yeah, okay, let's say last year's team had a bad game against the run. You know what we'd talk about? Oh, is defensive tackle a bigger need in the draft? That's what the reaction. Or, you know, you give up pressures. Well, obviously tackle is the biggest need. But when you are an 11-win team, not a 3-win team, which is what you were at this time a year ago, if you're an 11-win team, people are looking at your warts and your weaknesses and your struggles in relation to the playoffs. And that's great. Like, that's where you wanted to be, right? That's where you want to be considered. How do you measure up in the postseason? And that's the position they've put themselves in, Fitzy. But it's also the position they put themselves in heading into a, I don't know if it's a must-win game Sunday night for the Ravens, but the more desperate football team on Sunday night is in Baltimore. Is that accurate?
100%. Like, if Baltimore loses, Pittsburgh can still afford to get smoked against the Lions, which they might, and hold on to a nice little lead in the NFC North. Although I do believe they have one more game against each other coming up. So well done, schedule makers. Yeah. But if the Ravens win and the Steelers get spanked, then all of a sudden that game basically becomes a play-in game for the NFC North, which is huge. So, of course, this is an advantage Ravens in terms of incentive. Now, the Patriots have all the incentive in the world to not have their first losing streak of the year, Andy. Don't forget, they hadn't lost since summer, but also the two games they had lost prior to the Josh Allen 35-point comeback were separated by a win in Miami. So they've not lost two games in a row this year.
No, they have not. And to prevent that from happening, I'm guessing Drake May is going to have to play well. And something that I find interesting, you put in our email this morning something about Drake May and a big game and everything. I did my 3-point stance the other day that I think he needs to carry them. Last week, it was all about the matchup, right? We talked all about Josh Allen and Drake May. I don't feel like there's a similar QB matchup-based analysis going on in this game. I don't know exactly why that is. Do you have an inclination?
Because Lamar has not been himself this year, whereas Josh has intermittently been unstoppable and also out of sync, like uncomposed, if you will. But they're also like in the same division, and Josh Allen has always been the high end of the Drake May comp. If you're going to compare him to other people, no one ever compares Drake May and Lamar Jackson's game with each other. Like, they may not even play again for another year, 2, 3. I'm not sure exactly what next year's schedule is or when they'll play again. Whereas you're going to see Josh Allen at least twice a year for the next very many seasons. So I think that's why there's that QB-centric focus on Bills versus Patriots at Ravens. You know, Lamar was sick yesterday. He hasn't been the same all season long.
No.
Now, where we have been discussing things has been everything Derrick Henry related, because so much of what Mike Vrabel was able to do positively when he was a head coach was with Derrick Henry leading the charge as the battering ram. And now, wouldn't it be interesting if Derrick Henry is the battering ram that sticks one to his former coach just when his new team seems to be stumbling a bit?
So how are you feeling about Drake May in this spot? We just said this is a bad spot to some degree. The more desperate team is the Ravens. You're on the road, tough environment. The fans are going to be loud. The defense is going to be physical. Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey. How are you feeling about this spot for Drake May coming off what a lot of people said was his worst game of the season, and certainly one of the worst halves of the season in the second half? How are you feeling about the spot for your quarterback?
Not great. Yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really tough environment. Now, he played great Week 5 in Buffalo. No one felt great about that environment. Yeah, the stars aligned that night magnificently, and Baltimore has not played perfect football by any stretch. This is going to be, it's going to be 30 degrees of kickoff with a real feel in the teens. Nice and cold. Nicey, nicey, icy, icy. Plus, it's going, that environment is just, you want to talk about the mouth of hell. Holy smokes. That is not a fun place to play anytime, let alone on a Sunday night when it's chilly outside before Christmas. I think he'll be fine at times. But my big concern is that if Baltimore gets a lead, which I think they're going to, because Drake May can do all he tries and all he wants, but I don't think the Patriots defense is going to be able to stop Baltimore enough to win this game. And if Drake May has to stage a fourth quarter comeback, Andy, I hate to say this, but how many do you think he has to date in his very short NFL career?
Should I carry the two? Should I use both hands? Why don't you tell me? Because I feel like I won't need any of those things.
Zero.
Yeah.
None. Nada. He has never. Now, okay. Well, last year's team sucked, Fitzy. They were awful. And he hasn't had to this year. Yeah, because they've been ahead. They've been front runners. They've had the lead most of the season. And that lead in a lot of games has dwindled and gotten shorter and smaller. And, you know, back doors got tighter and puckered more. And fingernails got bitten. And nitro pills were consumed. And beer fridges got emptied because the games did get tight. If Baltimore gets a 10-point or a 14-point lead Sunday, Andy, I am a little bit concerned that Drake will try but not be able to execute the comeback needed to win this football game.
So this is going to sound like a stupid question, but for the long-term development of the football team and the quarterback, would you prefer that the Patriots go up 21-0 and cruise to a 31-17 victory Sunday night in Baltimore? Or would you prefer that it's a shootout, it's neck and neck, whatever the scenario is, and they trail 27-23 in the fourth quarter, and Drake leads them down the field in the final 3 minutes to get a touchdown, and you win 30-27.
B all day, and there's not even an A.
Interesting. And it's
100%. So, I don't need to see them go out and just like, oh, they're back. Look at this. Oh, Baltimore spit up all over themselves. Lamar fumbled, and Derrick Henry fumbled, and Zay Flowers fumbled. No. They need to get tested. Remember we asked a couple weeks ago if a little adversity would be a good thing for this team?
Yep.
Because it seemed like everything was perfect and all the stars aligned for far too long. They need to get tested, and he needs to be able to prove that he can come back, because there's a good chance if you have to go four games to glory in January into February, you're probably not going to have the lead the entire time. So you best now prove that you could possibly come from behind against a team that is playoff caliber.
Patriots fans, what say you? Would you rather the Patriots control this football game and cruise to victory the way they have so many times this season, scored more in the first than in the second? Or would you like to see that epic Drake May comeback, a fourth quarter comeback from your MVP candidate young quarterback? 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls, break down this big game. Up next, though, we do need to touch on the Boston Red Sox because, as Dan Ball writes, noted truth teller Jim Bowden on The Athletic is making some predictions or some analysis for Major League Baseball free agency. Yeah, it is open. The Red Sox haven't done anything, but free agency is open, so they're allowed to sign players. There's some players that Jim Bowden thinks fit with the Boston Red Sox. We'll tell you who those guys are, and we can discuss whether we think the team will actually sign one of these guys. That's next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.